Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Christos Anesti.
Christos Anesti.
Christ is risen.
Truly.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just this last week, before school was ending, our youngest son, Dimitri, did a little report in school on something he's very proud of, and that is his Greek heritage. He put together a little trifold lecture board. He brought kurumbiedes, little cookies. He taught everybody, or at least he tried to teach everybody, how to dance. How did it go? Not so well? All right. Well, I'm sure they tried. And of the many things that he had to speak about the Greek culture, things from antiquity, the vibrant faith of the country today, aspects of literature and democracy and sciences and medicine, mathematics. He spoke of the Olympics, of course, something that is near and dear to everyone's heart. From throughout the world, the Olympics is something that symbolizes the unity of humankind as expressed through sport. And just before he was preparing his little presentation to his class, we were at REI, and he saw one of the Olympic torches that was hanging there. He hadn't seen one before. It's been interesting, since we moved back to Utah, I've seen them in different businesses from throughout the valley, and it's been fun to see how many people participated in the carrying of the Olympic flame. But it was a joy for him to see that torch up close, though, of course, it was not lit. The Olympic flame is something of a great symbol. But what does it symbolize, really, but an idea, a philosophy, a symbol that unites the world, but it is just a flame nonetheless that is captured by the sun before every Olympic event, either summer or winter, in Olympia, Greece, and then gets put on an airplane, travels around the world, and then ends up in the host city. Today, if we were here this morning, you saw a different kind of fire. The candle that I was holding was actually 33 candles bound together, each in honor of a life of our Lord, as they do in tradition in the city of Jerusalem. This is a fire that did not come from a match or from a lighter that was in the back of the church or from the office. This is a light that traveled the course of the world, much like the Olympic flame, but very different, and found its way ultimately here to the parish of St. Anna in Cottonwood Heights, beautiful state of Utah. The holy fire, we recall, is this beautiful miracle when the patriarch of Jerusalem enters into the Holy Sepulchre completely without any form of fire, we can say, on him. He has just a simple white robe. He's literally patted down by Israeli forces. The interior of the tomb is inspected also by the police at least a week in advance before Easter. A great wax seal is placed on the doors of the Holy Sepulchre, also with a ribbon placed in that wax seal to ensure that it is not broken before the patriarch enters into the tomb of our Lord on the evening of Pascha. Let me reiterate, the tomb of Christ is an Orthodox church, as it has been since St. Helen established it herself. Now, the first written account of the miracle of the holy fire is from the great church historian Eusebius. In the year 328, he talked about how there was this incredible fire that came from an unlit source in the tomb of Christ of this blue hue, and it danced around the entirety of the church, and without even passing one candle to the next, the candles of the faithful were set ablaze as it went throughout the entirety of the Church of the Sepulchre. Saint Constantine, whose memory we commemorate today with his Empress Dowager Mother, St. Helen, built that church soon after this account. For she, in her missionary journeys to the Holy Land, sought out through her research and through, I guess we can say, the facilities and the monetary necessities that only an empress could have, to be able to go and to excavate and to seek out the holy sites of our Lord in the city of Jerusalem. So following her expeditions and her journey, the Holy Land, she was able to identify and preserve and sanctify the holiest of sites, including the tomb of our Lord. So what makes this fire different than the flame that symbolizes the Olympic Games? First of all, the holy fire that we received this morning is not a symbol of sport, but it's God's perpetual witness of His light in the world. It's amazing to think that the miracle of light comes from a place that is prepared to receive the dead. Who looks for joy among the graves but pious Christians? Who receives warmth from the stone-cold surface of a burial slab but only the faithful Christian? Who acquires light in the absolute epitome of thickened darkness but the watchful Christian? Who receives the gift of life from the one sentenced to death? You and all of us. You who are baptized, you are who chrismated, who are sacramental, you who believe. The holy fire does not mystically ignite simply for the sake of illustrating God's power and authority. God forbid. This is why the impious disbelievers shrinks the value of this great miracle to perhaps nothing more than the trick of a sorcerer. Now, just the same, St. Helen did not painstakingly research and identify and uncover and glorify the holy sites of Jerusalem for her personal glory, or for academic interest, or for the celebration of orthodoxy. No, the fire burns and the space is glorified so that we will all light the light of Christ within us and build a holy temple worthy of His visitation within the depths of our souls. Today, Sunday, May 21st, the sixth Sunday of Pascha, of Easter, allows us to see, as the blind man given his sight in today's gospel, many rich blessings. If St. Helen had not identified the tomb of Christ, there would be no reason for her son, St. Constantine the Great, to erect a church in this place. The tomb of Christ, the most holy and sacred spot on this world. And had he not built the church of the Holy Sepulchre, where would the world and the faithful gather to receive the light from the tomb? And had Christ our Savior, our God, our King, not willingly submitted Himself to be delivered upon the cross, and as the author of life, had He not given Himself unto the utter grasp of death, and had He, as the resurrection, the light, and the life, not emerged from the tomb on the third day, then what possible light, whether holy or miraculous or otherwise, is there to receive? Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Christ is risen.